And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron likes it. He'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. At MK Pallet. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. You know the number for that. And you can see Eric Mayhem Warner, who joins us and brings beer. That's why we love you, Eric.
How's it going, guys?
Can't complain.
Everything good? Yeah,
you good to see you. We almost forgot about you.
I know, man. I think it's been before the Super Bowl.
I think it was. In here.
Yeah. My fault, totally.
You've been gallivanting.
I was traveling, you know. I just got back from this, kind of a little bit of everywhere, man. I went to Korea, Indonesia, and I just came from Italy.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
And you got a piece of your face removed?
I had to go in and get the skin.
Korea?
No, Korea.
This is coronavirus 101.
Yeah, I just got it over the mic. No, just kidding. I was in the Caribbean. I was in Miami and in the British Virgin Islands.
Oh,
not a place you want to go for beer.
What a tough place.
It was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Cool place.
What were you doing? Hop selection?
Yep. They're like everywhere else in the world. They're trying to grow hops there too, looking for new. They're kind of rebuilding from the hurricane. You know, Irma smacked them good. So, but really friendly people. Honestly, it's the first place I've been to in the Caribbean where I didn't feel like I was getting hustled. I never felt like I was getting hustled by anybody.
That means you probably got hustled.
That's the master, the Jedi.
Those guys are good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys are good at it. Well, Eric, tell the people what you've brought for us today.
AJ, after our month, we brewed this over a month ago now.
Yep.
This is the S'more Stout.
Yes.
That we brewed that is supposed to taste like s'mores, right? And you were there on brew day. You know, yep. We put in some different ingredients to enhance that. We got the ABV up and got it up to over 8.5%. So what do you think?
I think it's solid, man. I like the mouthfeel on it a lot. It's got that like sort of thicker, creamier mouthfeel. Flavoring's good. Yeah, this is good. This is good stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, you know better than I. You've got a better palate than me. But
love it. I think this. We got to decide what to do with it now. I mean, I know we want to do something at the brewery,
mm-hmm.
and you have a little fundraiser you want to do with the keg. But yeah, let's parlay this into something.
Should probably put some of it into a barrel of some sort.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Fred, you've got umpteen whiskey connections. I mean, if we can get a smaller barrel.
Oh, yeah.
If we get a full 53-gallon barrel, whiskey barrel, that'd be almost all the beer, right?
Yeah. We don't need that.
If we could come across one of those little, like, 10-gallon
casks. I bet we could come across something like that.
I think we can make that happen.
That's a great idea.
All right.
I like where you're going with that. What do you think, Fred?
Well, I've only had a s'more stout one other time when I was in Canada, and it was a brewery out of Vancouver, and I can't remember the name of it. And it was fairly hideous.
Okay.
But this one, not fairly hideous at all.
Okay. This one's extremely hideous.
No. I actually like it quite a bit.
Okay.
So there you go.
Awesome.
Well, look at us, man.
What were you guys?
I was nervous when you said s'mores because that beer I had there was just, I mean, it was s'more urine is what it was.
Oh,
that's
not good.
Yeah.
Was it a stronger stout or was it kind of a?
It was a really weak stout. I think that was part of it too. It didn't have much alcohol.
And kind of to pull back the curtain a little bit we didn't like dump a pile of marshmallows in this thing. We used a lot of vanilla to sort of create that marshmallow profile. And I think it worked out pretty well.
I agree.
Because vanilla is my favorite thing to taste in a stout anyway. But you get some vanilla, you get some chocolate, you get a little bit of cinnamon in there still.
Yeah, we added cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yep, cinnamon stick.
So this is good stuff, man. I'm actually really happy with the way this worked out.
I am too, man. I think we, considering we just kind of, you know, designed it on the fly, you know, just drew the play up and did it. Pretty cool.
The only thing we should have done differently was what's that stuff?
The rice hulls. We should have put the rice hulls in the mash.
Yeah, so it wouldn't take so damn long. But
you know, this way, AJ, you can legitimately look your kid in the eye and say this was slow brewed.
It was done the hard way.
Done the hard old fashioned way.
Well, not really.
Nah.
You guys have that fancy thing that just swishes it from one tank to the next.
The the hard way would have been like scrubbing a wooden vat.
Right. Yeah. Or like it'd be a big oak bucket that would have had to sit in for a while.
Yeah.
I've seen the old way.
Yeah, not good.
In Belgium, everybody does it everybody still has the stuff that looks like they do it the old way. I don't know if they'd still do it the old way.
I think that's showpiece.
I think so, too. But yeah, I'm really happy with this. This is going to be good stuff. So now we just need to figure out when we're going to release it at Carbach, when we're going to have the people out to try it.
Well, let's get Christina and DG together and let's make it happen, especially now that it's still, you know, springtime, and we don't want to be doing this in May or June.
No, it's a million degrees.
The beer's fresh. It's ready. Let's make it happen. So, sometime in March. Let's see
what we can. And then maybe with what we put into the to the barrels, maybe we can just make bottles out of it.
Yeah, and that obviously we're going to have to sit on for a little bit, right?
Yep. And then we can just put whatever we make out of that into bottles, and we can divvy them up however we see fit.
Yeah. I like it. Special people get those, don't we?
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Other new beers coming out. We've got these new Chela beers.
Okay. Besides the Hella?
Besides the Hella, yeah.
Okay, so, what's the rest of them? Yella Chela?
Well, I like that. That's good. Okay. Where are you, man? You should have been around when we were ideating on these names.
Yella Chela is when the brewer actually pees in the beer. You don't want that.
Ouch.
We don't want that.
We don't want Yella Chela. Yella Mella, Yella Chela. No. But the Lil Chela is a light cerveza, 4.2%.
How much is Hella Chela?
Hella Chela is like 5, but it's also it's not that. It's like 4.5, I think.
Okay,
but it's got more calories because of some of the extra ingredients we put in.
So this is for people watching their figure.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And then what's emerging as the marketplace favorite thus far, even though it's really not going into stores for another week, is the Viva Chela, which is a lime and salt version. So these are both lagers, right? The Lil Chela and the Viva Chela, and lime salt's quite good, quite refreshing.
Sounds like a kind of beer that I can take some on the river this summer.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, and
what's
and
the ABV on it?
That one is like 4.8.
Okay,
and, that's manageable. Yeah, manageable. And you know, I technically can't say this, but who's listening? They're worrying about coronavirus now or something. But it has healthy benefits.
Like what?
The salt.
Oh.
It's going to help you hydrate on the river.
That's a good thing.
So this is probably the ideal beer to be drinking on the river, AJ.
Ideal river beer. So last year on the river, my stash was mostly made up of Crawford Bock.
Yep.
Which I was worried that it would be too heavy for the river, but no, it's not. Not even an issue at all. I'm trying to find the
correspondence. You got a picture?
I had a picture of my
I will say this, AJ. I was kind of surprised at how dramatically the product mix had shifted, because it used to be like, hey, get me a case of Delusion and 2 6-packs of Rodeo Clown.
Listen, you and many other people they would tell me that Hop Delusion is not built for drinking in mass quantities, okay? And I didn't always like to listen. My wife, she told me, don't drink that much on the river. And let's face it, when we're on the river, we're having beer, but we're also having other substances that make you feel good. And sometimes if you ingest that substance, and then you ingest 16 Hop Delusions,
you're feeling really good by the end of the night.
No, you're really not, because your sister's had to tie a rope to your tube and pull you down the river because you're totally passed out.
See, this is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Okay. All right. Well, see, it's good for the people to know that you're human.
Yeah. So I had Crawford Bock, a little bit of Love Street.
Yep.
some Weekend Warrior.
Yep, I remember that.
And some Light Circus.
That's right, Light Circus. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And it worked. It was a good mix for the river.
Yeah, healthy mix.
Everybody was pretty happy, so that's always a good thing. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to make the masses happy.
So you got the dates set for this year?
It'll be June.
June. It's always June.
Yeah, it's always June.
All right. Well, we'll... you know, AJ,
I've also got a week in July that I've got to go coach baseball in Tennessee.
Aren't you? You're not really supposed to be drinking with the kids, though, are you?
The hell you're not.
Yeah, how else do you deal with that?
Well, yeah, imagine being on the field with kids all day and then going home and drinking water.
Okay, but you're not doing like Gatorade bottle in the dugout.
No,
all right.
Bad News Bears.
Yeah, okay.
I would be doing that.
That was the best movie.
What was that
ever,
coach's name? Butterman?
Yeah, I just remember Walter Matthau.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but that movie was like, my mom did not want me to see that movie. Can you imagine, like back in whenever that was, Fred, 70s, late 70s, that was considered like a out there, risque movie.
Kelly Leak.
In the late 70s, your mom was telling you what movies you could watch?
I was like 12, 13. I couldn't see Jaws, dude. She didn't let me see Jaws.
My mom would drop us off when she had to go to work, and basically we'd go to every R movie, so I saw everything.
My mom,
there's a reason I'm screwed up.
My mom made me watch horror movies when I was a kid.
With what intent?
I don't know. I think because that's what she liked to watch, so that's what we watched.
Okay.
We watched like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, it's potentially scarring movies.
Yeah.
Poltergeist legitimately scarred me for life. It messed me up for the long haul. So, but my mom, that's just the way it was. She wouldn't tell me don't watch anything.
Not my mom, man.
Well, my wife's mom wouldn't let her watch The Simpsons.
My mom had a problem with me watching Hawaii Five-0, the original one with Yak Lord.
I have a joke right now, but I won't say it because it's no longer politically correct.
Okay. About Jack Lord?
No.
Okay. But she wouldn't let me watch that because the concept of murders was like too... And my mom was not like super Christian or religious or anything. She was just very square. My mom doesn't drink.
So she was anti-murder.
Yeah, which is probably okay.
Yeah.
I guess we'll let that one...
Your mom anti-murder?
I don't know. She let me go watch a lot of stuff where there was murder.
My mom, I think my mom's neutral on it. I don't know.
I'd guarantee you this. All three of our moms at one point thought about murdering us.
That was super good. All right, guys. I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, listen up, grab your smartphone, and start saving cash. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you some big savings on your home policy. And the great part is... you don't need to talk to an insurance agent. How about that? Used to take hours to get a reliable quote. TGS has built a system that'll give you a firm quote in 15 seconds using nothing but your address, and you're probably going to save a bunch of money. Grab your phone now and text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. Send that back. Full quote, excellent coverage, within 15 seconds. And this company and this savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer last year saved over $870 on home insurance. That could be you. And you don't need to wait for your renewal because TGS takes care of the back end. You just free your mind and fatten your wallet. Text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today with TGS Insurance. Don't you ever bet.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on the Blitz. Eric Warner in the house. You don't mind hanging around for another segment, do you?
I love you guys, man. This is my favorite part of the week. No, this really is.
You guys did a nice job with this. I was showing you the one that I had in Canada, and I don't want to dog them out because I love the brewery. That's the first time I've had a bad beer of theirs. And the day before, I'd had a pumpkin version that was fantastic. But so I was totally off s'mores because of that. So I'm back now. Thank you.
Back in the saddle on the s'mores. Yeah, I saw this interesting beverage that came across my radar screen. You know, have you ever seen, thinking of chocolate, you know, the cacao fruit has got all this like slimy sort of fruit stuff around the seeds. They're taking that. And they're fermenting it and turning it into this lightly alcoholic beverage so they don't, like, waste that stuff. So, anyway, I got some of that coming. I ordered some.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. It could be garbage, but...
It's the only one way to find out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the way I look at it. With the you-know-what hitting the fan, I think you got to be ready to make alcohol out of anything. Right? Okay. You never know where you're going to end up. You never know what you're going to have to work with
to
ferment. And so, hey, if you can take a byproduct and make something out of it.
Why not?
Why not? So.
Lamont has a question for you.
Fire away.
Have you guys ever discussed marketing craft beers to blacks and Hispanics? He says, when I go to family events, I whip out craft beers and everyone thinks I'm some kind of weirdo. And they revert back to trash-ass malt liquor beer.
We do. And kind of going back to this Chela series, I mean, we're trying to...
Well, that Helichella is basically like a
Michelada. Yeah.
So that's definitely marketed toward the Hispanic delegation.
Yeah, but you know, it's and I'm talking my personal thing here. You know, it's just like it's always a weird deal that way because I just, you know what? I mean, I understand that these things exist, but I'm like, hey, everybody's cool. We're all humans here, right? And I don't want to like. I just want the merit of the product to speak for itself.
But
right?
The reality is that there are always going to be, I mean, especially at least the way you market to people will always be different because of the way people grew up.
Yep.
And whether it's stereotyping or not, that just is what it is. And there's ways to target an audience. And, you know, I think that's what he's asking. And I'll also say this, and it's, again, this is maybe stereotyping, but I drink with a lot of people, and I know a few Hispanics who drink like serious craft beer. I know very few black dudes who do. And I know a couple. I drank with one 2 weeks ago, and he drinks better beer than I do. But it's sort of a cultural thing sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, so a couple thoughts there. One, that's one of the things I love about Houston. It is
Everybody's such a
melting pot of America, if you will. And so it's true, Lamont. You go to other cities like Seattle or Denver or whatever, and it's white people drinking craft beer, right? And I don't like seeing that. But I think the industry is definitely also taking, you know, a lot of efforts to try and make it more inclusive and diversified. We're not doing any like targeted marketing, right, to any groups, right? We come up with brands like the Chelas that, you know, we think, hey, might resonate a little bit more with a different demographic, but we just try to be all things to all people. That's always kind of been our motto, and everybody's always welcome at the brewery, and we, you know, try to make it inclusive to everybody and anybody, kids, dogs, white, black, brown, male, female, whatever. We had to do a little diversity quiz today. It was like a random
diversity
thing.
Quiz.
Yeah. Or a thing that they're, our HR department's trying to, and I had to actually like, it had the, what do you identify as? And I was like, I wanted to write in there, like, cause there was an other box and I just wanted to type in, dude who human. Likes ladies.
Oh,
right.
Right.
No, it was like orientation.
Sexual orientation.
Yeah. So,
you should have just said fluid.
I'm not fluid, dude.
How about
I'm
not a Weinstein.
Not a Weinstein.
You're fluid. You go with the flow.
to a degree,
yeah.
My friend. No. I'll go as fluid as long as the ratio is always more female than male.
Okay.
Like I would do an orgy with seven people if it was four chicks and three dudes.
Okay. But not four and four.
No, because I think the odds are then there'd just be this moment where
you bump.
You're looking at or that or it's like, all right, he's done, I'm done. You're looking at each other and like, what do we do now? And it's like, no, not doing that.
I mean, if there's four
just
and
play
four,
along and reach out and grab it. Come on, man.
If there's 4-4, you're pretty much, I mean, you're going to be satisfied. You're not going to need to go to a fifth, right?
True.
I mean, like, there's no way that you've gone through all four and now you're like, oh, well, now what do I do? It's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, at your age, certainly.
At my age, definitely,
right,
man.
I mean, yeah. There are magical pills.
I'd be lucky to get through two.
Yeah. I guess you're lucky your wife's out of town.
No, I think we're lucky she's not listening to the show.
She might be listening.
She could be. But could I'd be. Say the odds are slim.
Could be.
Yeah, which is probably a good thing, you know, because I've dogged her. For the TV thing.
No one heard that.
Yeah.
That was just...
Yeah, no, it's just us.
It's just us. It's just us girls in here. Just us fluid girls in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
tell people... I guess you might not even know, but I was at the concert. I was at the Rodeo Clown Roundup. Had a great time out there. And I think maybe 7 variants of... BBH on the wall, something like that. Tons of different options for people. And we went out with my wife and I went with another couple, and the ladies weren't drinking. So we had to, they tried one beer, and I paid for the beer out of my pocket. I wouldn't let them use a wristband tab because they were trying to get, you know, like a light beer for one of the tabs. And I'm like, when you go to these concerts, you got to save these tabs for the big boys. And that's life lesson for everyone. They finally realized why I was not letting them use their free beer tabs, because you don't use the free beer tabs on the on a lager.
No, exactly. No. Exactly. You want to save that for
something barrel aged.
But hey, look at it this way. You guys had drivers. You had a driver to get you home.
Oh yeah, it was great.
So, I did about 10 days at the beginning of this trip. In the Caribbean, because I was like, my rationale was because everybody's
10 days of sobriety.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Well, alcohol sobriety.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I know you.
I don't think I could do 10 days of. Oh, and believe me, I was smoking cigars like a lunatic. But yeah. So it, you know that. But I say I have to do this professionally.
Right. You have to smoke pot professionally.
No. No, I have to drink professionally.
Oh, yeah, that.
So I need to take a break every once in a while, right?
But you're good at both.
I can do both. I'm fluid when it comes to that.
You're fluid.
Now we know what the fluids are all about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz at ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Feel the roar with the Houston Sabercats, Houston's own Major League Rugby team. Sunday, March 1st at 5 p.m. at Aviva Stadium. The new Aviva Stadium features the best seats in the country and 2 bars stocked with plenty of cold Carbach beer. At 6:38, we'll take caller 5 to 713-780-3776. You'll win a pair of tickets to experience the excitement. Become a fan of the Houston Sabercats today. Tickets start at just $20 at HoustonSabercats.com. My wife's a big... She's been to a couple Sabercats games. She likes it. I don't know why.
The short shorts.
I guess. It's mostly Aussie guys, and she's kind of into that. I got to get in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day real quick.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. Where do you come down on the flat earth, guys?
Morons.
Well, usually I don't like to make fun of death, but there is a man named Mad.
That's a lie, by the way.
Okay, I make fun of death all the time.
We literally do a segment once a week about people who have died.
That's true. Okay, so yeah, I like to make fun of death, especially really dumb deaths.
Yeah.
Mad Mike Hughes was a flat earth guy.
Okay.
He also was an amateur rocket maker.
Oh, boy.
So he decided that he was going to build a rocket so that he could launch it and prove that the earth is flat by getting high enough up to see that the earth was flat and not curved. Well, you'll never guess what happened.
Not wise, guys.
64 years old, his homemade rocket ship suffered a malfunction and crashed, and Mad Mike Hughes died.
How high up did it get?
1,374 feet.
That's actually pretty damn good for an amateur rocket maker.
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, if you're trying to get that high up, why don't you go on an airplane where it goes to 32,000 feet and you can kind of see more?
Well, he was planning on going higher than that.
Yeah.
He was going to go all the way up. He just didn't make it that far. He made it about a 50th of the way he was planning on making it.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if you're a flat earth person and you're listening to the show,
stop listening to the show.
Yeah, you know what? You need to just leave.
Yeah.
But
if you believe flat earth and you believe you're anti-vax, I'm done. We don't need you. I'm okay with you not listening.
So he had a near death.
As we all hide from coronavirus, right. And you're like, "Oh, I don't
yeah.
I don't vaccinate my child." No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Well, he survived a rough landing recently.
Why didn't he have a parachute?
Well, he apparently did. Said, "I manned up and did it. This thing wants to kill you 10 different ways. This thing will kill you in a heartbeat." Yeah, and it did. So he was sitting in a rocket ship with the words "Research Flat Earth" on it. The aircraft blasted off, but immediately after takeoff, the ship's parachutes prematurely deployed. With no parachutes to slow his free fall back to Earth from several hundred feet, the rocket slammed into the desert ground at high speed. He died on impact.
You would think at that age, premature wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, just getting the rocket to launch is the big thing at that point.
Yeah, I mean, get it off the ground.
The Science Channel tweeted out that he tragically passed away during an attempt to launch his homemade rocket. Our thoughts and prayers go to his family and friends during this difficult time. Yeah, I pray for your family because they had the deal with you. So he did admit at one point that his rocket experiments couldn't prove that the Earth was flat. So I never said I was going to try to prove the Earth was flat at 1,800 feet. I mean, that's goofy. You're already goofy. Or were. It's just supposed to raise awareness to get me to space to prove what shape this planet really is. I believe it is stationary, motionless, and I believe it is flattened. Well, he got flattened himself. And that is your sad eye jeweler's gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Sad Hawk Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Just thought you might appreciate that.
I did, greatly.
Why is he called Mad Mike?
Because he thought that the Earth was flat. And,
like mad crazy, like British mad. Like
yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Hmm. Or he was mad that his parachutes deployed early and he smacked down to the Earth.
Fred, you remember this. AJ was not even a wet dream at this point. But remember when Evel Knievel tried
River
to...
Canyon, yeah. I used to have all these Evel Knievel toys, which are probably worth thousands of dollars now, including the rocket ship that was supposed to launch over the Snake River Canyon. And it had a little parachute on it and everything. And you'd wind it up and it'd go... And
then one of my favorite toys.
Yeah, yeah. But...
His parachutes worked.
Well, but they went off too early. That's what happened because he got up there and the parachute went off and then the wind blew him back.
Yeah, and he slammed into the side of the cannon that he launched from.
Yeah. I bet you we can find that on YouTube now that I think about it.
That was like a huge event, AJ. They like had that thing hyped up. Well, I mean, and back then when there was only like four channels of TV.
I don't believe it. I don't think it really happened.
Flat Earth. See, you're going flat Earth with that.
I'm going like a moon launch. Like, that never really happened.
Well, it's funny because, like, you'll remember this. They used to have, they'd have Demolition Derby and all this stuff in the dome. But one of the things they used to have was a jumping contest with motorcycles to see how many buses you could clear. And there was this dude who came out in just like a leather jacket. He looked like the Fonz, and he's got the... You know, he's got his collar up, and he comes down, he takes one look at it, and then he just disappears. And like, yep, you might want to wear a helmet if you're going to jump eight buses.
I think, Fred, if I'm not mistaken, one of Evel Knievel's biggest stadium jumps was at the Astrodome.
And I was there for that.
You were?
Yeah.
I think he like broke his own record with that or something,
My mom used to take us to all those things, and one of the worst things I ever saw, there was this dude named Chuck Strange, and he would jump a truck. and he shorted the jump, and the windshield of the truck went right into the ramp. And I think the guy wound up living, but I don't know how. He should have been beheaded.
Ouch.
I'm sorry that I occasionally like stuff like that.
But guys, no. I mean, ouch, like that hurts. But guys, yeah, like I that, I have beheaded. Full respect for, right? I mean, it's like, you know, that's pressing new frontiers. Pressing. We proved 500 years ago the Earth is not flat.
Well, we didn't because we weren't alive.
But no, but we would have. We would have.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're 18, like I think the biggest thing I ever jumped on my motorcycle was this ditch trying to impress a chick. And it was about a 20-foot ditch that I cleared. And I thought I was badass. And then you go and you see what...
On a motorcycle or a dirt bike?
It was a dirt bike.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I have a hard time getting my Harley over, like, speed bumps.
Oh, no. It was a dirt bike. And,
okay.
And, yeah. And it was an XR75, a Honda XR75, four-stroke. And when I landed the bike, and stupid me because I was a little stoned. I said, I'm trying to impress a girl. I clear it by a bunch, and then I lose the bike on the way down, and the friggin' gear goes right into my foot because I've only got tennis shoes on. And so, like, I get up, and my foot's stuck to the gear shift. It's like, yeah, nicely done. I still have the scar. I was a stupid person at the age of 16. And not much has changed. All right. One last segment to go. You can put me in the dumbass report for that if you want. That's perfectly fine with me. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I think Eric and I are irritating A.J. with our way back stuff here.
Yeah, you guys are talking about old people stuff.
Well, and you know what? The olds who are listening will remember this. We're talking about how big Evel Knievel was. And as a kid... The two biggest stars to me were Muhammad Ali and Evel Knievel. That's where they were. And I mean, it was an event every time he did something. And it just seems weird now because we're talking off air and there's all these guys like Travis Pastrana who are doing these amazing things that are way beyond what he could do. But nobody pays attention to it. It's just X Games now.
Right.
But back then he was like they started a league basically where you'd go around to different stadiums trying to jump as many as you can. And it was a competition that they did because of him, because he was that popular. All right.
No, I mean, it totally, like, and that's the thing. It's kind of the same thing with rock, right, with music. It was, there's so many bands now, right, and there's so many sports now. It's just so much harder to stand out. But, I mean, Ali, you cannot say how much, you know, overstate what an icon he was and how important to the culture he was at the time.
If you get a chance, there was a documentary, I think it was on HBO, called Ali and Cavett, and it was based on his appearances on the Dick Cavett Show. Fascinating stuff. And if you really kind of want to get a sense of who Muhammad Ali really was, because I mean people hear the name and you know, and maybe they know a little of the history, but if you get a chance, go watch that. It was pretty cool, and included an appearance by George Foreman as well. All right, we got a dumbass report.
We do, but I kind of want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Because I've got a story that, I mean, we could consider it a dumbass report story, but I think there's a conversation to be had here. So maybe we'll bail on the story or on the dumbass report today.
We can always do it tomorrow. I mean,
I'll ask you guys your opinion on this. There's a debate going on about who really has the biggest penis in the world. Jonah Falcon has long been considered the record holder at 13.5 inches.
Are we talking limp or erect? I'm assuming limp.
Yes.
Okay.
Roberto Esquivel Cabrera from Mexico. His penis is now 19 inches.
Whoa!
Here's the catch.
Uh-oh. That's hardcore.
No.
No.
Jonah's penis is a natural 13.5 inches. Roberto has spent his life trying to make his bigger.
Oh, haven't we all?
Well, he's gone a little further than we have. He began, when he was a teenager, wrapping bands around his penis with weights attached to it to stretch it out. And basically, his foreskin is a considerable amount of his actual length. So they are saying if he were to be circumcised, he wouldn't have this massive penis. But he likes, and doctors have told him as much. They said, listen, the best thing for you is the doctors give you a normal shape to your penis so it doesn't hurt you. You can have normal sexual relationships and you can have children. But he says,
is there anything normal about a 13-inch?
I don't think his is. Yeah. No. I don't think he's having normal relations either.
Right. Just saying.
But he says
for a variety of reasons.
The doctors say he won't accept it. He would rather have a bigger penis than the rest of the people than to have a normal sex life.
What's the point of having?
That's the real question.
Yeah, because believe me, if I were packing that, then boy, you imagine what you could pull.
Jonah found fame in 1999 when he was featured on the HBO documentary Private Bleeps Men Exposed. In 2012, he was stopped by TSA officials at San Francisco International Airport due to the large bulge in his pants. That's a pretty good life.
Yeah.
There's Roberto.
Holy smoke. So he's an older dude, or he's an premature older gray or something.
He's been working it for a long time.
That looks longer than 19 inches, dude. Or is he a really short dude?
He's probably pretty short.
But he's probably pretty short, but consider that's a foot and a half. I mean,
so is that red line and the white line, is the white supposed to be where the real meat stops and the red is the...
I think he's wearing a sock or something. I don't know.
Because you said a lot of it was fake because it was stretched out skin.
But I want you to think about what 19 inches is. So I'm 6'3". 19 inches would be 1/4 of my height.
That's like from your foot to your knee, almost. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah, I mean...
Well, we were talking about Snake River Canyon. There you go.
There you go. So who would you say has the bigger penis? The guy who's been stretching it out his whole life? Jonah Falcon says that the fact that he's stretched says that it's desperate. It reeks of desperation.
I agree. And, AJ, we live in the era of advanced metrics. So in my opinion, it should be a function of, first of all, that foreskin stuff doesn't count. It's the real meat.
The meat and potatoes.
That's what we're measuring. And it's a function of length, girth. And then that stuff changes once you become aroused, right? So it all gets different.
You're a Hank Aaron's the home run king kind of guy.
I think I'm a bit of a purist when it comes down to it. That's correct. Yeah.
Fred?
Well, I kind of feel like if you're going to wield a sword, I don't care how long the actual handle is on it.
You want to know how sharp the blade is.
Exactly. So if I have a longer blade and a shorter handle than your long-ass handle and short blade, I'm
going to There's Jonah. Look into his eyes.
He's a handsome man.
I think he's done gay porn.
Oh, has he?
I think so. Which, God, that poor dude who's in that with him. Good God.
Yeah, there's nothing good that can come out of that.
So, yeah, pardon my bailing on the dumbass report, but I thought that'd be a good discussion to have.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Eric, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
We'll let you guys know when we're going to have the event at Carbach.
And great job on the beer, both of you. So, great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. A plus is all around for Eric. I was okay today. I'm going to give myself a solid C minus. And it's only Monday.
It's generous.
It's only up from here. Well, not as generous as that guy is, apparently. All right. Till tomorrow. Stay sporty, bitches.